Katie, I teased this coming in. Just one simple question. How about them Yankees? Huh? What is up?
10 of their last 13.
Boom!
Although, here's what I gotta say.
Oh, come on. Don't rain on his parade.
Hold on. It's not all bad. Look.
Come on. I'm sitting here ready to wax poetic about Andy Pettit, and you're gonna get...
I know. But let me just lay it on you.
Rain all over my parade. Go ahead.
It's good news, bad news. Good news, last year the Yankees won the AL East, and when they did, they started with relatively similar figures through 54 games, which is what they were entering last night's win against the Rays. They had relatively similar figures last year going compared to this year. They only had a record that was one game better. They were 31-23 last year versus 30-24 this year. Runs per game, about a half a run difference. Batting average about the same. ERA was about a half run lower, so the pitching was a little better last year. But overall, the stats were very similar.
Please tell me you looked this up this morning.
No, it was on the Yes Network last night during their Yankee telecast.
All right, that's fine.
However,
you just had these offhand.
Here's the thing that I still have a struggle with this Yankee club.
All right.
Last year, the Yankees were batting about .260, .270 with runners in scoring position at this point last year.
Oh, it's not good.
This year, they're hitting .220.
Yeah, it's not good. That's not good.
This club is still... Now, great series against Detroit. Great road trip overall. They won 6-9.
Great series against Detroit. So far, it's great against Tampa Bay.
Taking the last two
against Tampa. Loving it against Tampa Bay.
You know, they've done a great job. However, situational hitting, as far as that's concerned, it needs to keep improving.
But you know what? It can improve. And I know you hate this, and you're going to yell at me just for saying it. But dude, chicks dig the long ball, son.
Look, dude.
Chicks dig the long ball. How ridiculous do I sound right now?
You do sound really ridiculous right now.
But chicks do. Dude, Teixeira hit a homer last night. I think Cano hit a homer last night. Yeah.
Look.
Yeah. I've been sitting here all season. Just be like, just relax.
First of all, chill out, bruh.
And here they come.
As good as the long ball is, I personally live by the Shane Falco thought process, personally.
Wow.
Chicks dig scars, glory lasts forever.
Wow!
I live by that more than chicks dig
scars.
Here
we go.
But it is what it is. Anyways.
Replacements.
But what? I thought it was a good movie.
It was a pretty good movie. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was actually
Keanu Reeves is a quarterback? Yeah, what the
good
hell?
Good movie. Yeah.
And Gene Hackman can play a coach any day of the week.
Yeah, Gene Hackman can play anything. Yeah, Gene Hackman as Batman would be fantastic. Whatever. It's Gene Hackman.
Okay, Robin. No. Anyways. Look, this Yankee ball club, now the starting rotation seems to have really gelled together.
The resurgence of Andy Pettit.
Here's the only thing I need to ask, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Wallace Matthews and everybody else that works down in New York City, I'm having a Bruce moment, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Bruce Jacobs, if you don't know it. Game on with
Let
Bruce
me get
Jacobs.
This straight. Phil Hughes had 4 or 5 good starts in a row. Then has a bad start in L.A., bash him. Shouldn't be in the rotation. Shouldn't be a starting pitcher. Then he goes out on Sunday and pitches a complete game.
Great game.
Against the Tigers.
Great game against that lineup.
I would argue his best start ever in his career. You know what I got Monday morning from those writers?
What'd you get?
Crickets. Not a peep. Oh, so he fails one start. No good. But he gives you his fifth good start in his last six. Crickets. Come on. Be more objective and even keeled than that.
All right.
When you're a writer, you have to be less emotional about things than fans.
It's true. Unless you're writing from the viewpoint of a fan, and then you can be as emotional as you like. Like
called,
this guy.
Call being a little professional. Well, no, not that you're not professional. But in New York City, New York City writers in general tend to be very unprofessional at times. And Wallace Matthews was a perfect example of that last
week. All right. But can you give me some love on Andy Pettit, though, please?
I gotta say,
that's two great starts in a row. And Nova backed it up last night.
You look at his five starts. He's only really had one bad start. Now you'd say, oh, but he had 4 runs against Seattle in his first start. Yeah, he made 2 mistakes, and they both happened to go out of the ballpark. That was it.
I know, man.
The only bad start he had was in L.A. last week.
Pettit's a beast.
Aside from that, he's been terrific,
I think.
This
is fantastic. I mean, look,
he's 40 going on 25 right now, the way he's pitching.
It's unbelievable. Look, Pettit was, it might not be a Hall of Famer, but he was an all-time Yankee before. Yeah, when he retired, before he came back, he was going to get his number retired.
46 will be retired,
anyway.
Yes.
By the way, what do we do? Do you think the Yankees have been a little quick to just retire people's numbers? Like, Pettit's number's got to be retired But if it keeps going like this, at some point we're gonna run out of numbers. We're gonna have the first infield. We're gonna have the first infield with numbers 90 and 94 in baseball history soon enough.
Wow.
You think about it. Torrey's number is gonna be retired probably in 5 years or so. His six will be retired, dude. He brought the Yankees back. Jeter's number's going, so that's gonna be 1 through 10 blocked out. 15, 16 are gone.
Is Stengel's number retired?
Yeah.
37's retired?
37, I think. Okay. 33 is retired. 42 would already be because of Jackie Robinson, yeah. But Mo. At some point, the Yankees are just going to run out of numbers. They're going to have to unretire certain numbers just so they can feel the team.
I'm not going to unretire certain numbers.
Dude, 20 years from now, then you're going to hear, playing center field, wearing the letter Sigma, Benny Rodriguez, the letter Sigma.
Letters?
You're going to get like Greek letters. You get like, you know, the guy playing center field, number Z. This is going to happen.
No.
Look at Monument Park and just see all the numbers that are blacked out because the great Yankees. But it's like,
dude, you still have a good number of 20s, 30s, and 40s. I think they'll be able to manage that.
I don't think so, man. It's gonna come a time. I think there are people in the Yankees front office going, dude, I hope Cano slows down because we're gonna run out of numbers here.
I think the Yankees will be fine. By the way, since we're talking about more or less Hall of Fames.
Yeah.
I have no problem with John Franklin getting the Mets Hall of Fame. Absolutely deserves it. However,
okay,
how does an organization that's little brother in their city like the Mets have more people in their Hall of Fame than the Yankees have retired numbers in Monument Park?
Seriously?
Yes.
That's true?
And their organization has been in existence about half as long as
the
Yankees.
Who the hell are they retiring?
They've had like 36 people in their Hall of Fame.
Seaver, Piazza, Franco.
I don't think Piazza's in there yet.
Well, he will be.
Well, true.
Seaver, Piazza, Franco, Hernandez.
But I remember like last year they had a...
Strawberry, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, last year they had a big class. They had it was like a whole class of 86 themes. So they had Doc Gooden. Daryl Strawberry and Davey Johnson
did they just take like both World Series like, teams hey, and put them right there?
If you had one good year with the Mets, you're in the Hall of Fame. That's essentially what it is right now.
Well, it is the Mets.
That's going to be Edgardo Alfonso.
It is the Mets. Then I guess you have
Benny
to lower your expectations a little bit. You got to lower the expectations a little bit because you're the Mets.
Let's get Joe McEwing in the Hall of Fame. Come on in, Joey. Let's go. Hold on. Let's get Bill Pulsifer. Bill! Oh, wait, I forgot. Your arm isn't working. Click.
All right, let me ask you. If Luis Soho had played for the Mets, would his number be retired? I say yes.
Yes. Just because he's Luis Soho.
I'm not entirely sure why Luis Soho doesn't have his number retired with the Yankees.
He is one of my favorite.
I love that dude.
I mean, I don't usually have a big love for utility players, but Luis Soho has a special place
utility
in my heart for good reason.
Because he could do any utility. Because first of all, he looked...
I was talking
about Kukoc, not like sounding like an athletic name. Luis Soho looked like... It's like, dude, you rolled off the couch.
He looked like a random 6'2", 230-pound guy they dragged off the couch of a dorm somewhere.
That dude has been sitting on his couch just cooking gritters and drinking coffee
for a decade, and then
rolled out into the baseball field.
Yeah, I can visualize this. The Yankees, they went down to just fill the roster like, hey, Luis, drop the Jose, pick up a bat, let's go. I mean, that's literally
he doesn't look athletic.
And he would still play
And he's
decent.
Like the best utility infield or best utility player in the history of Yankees.
It's
unbelievable.
Crazy.
He's my favorite, dude. Anytime Luis was in the game, I was like, yes. Oh, man. We got to start a movement.
I don't see his 19 being retired.
We got to start a movement to get Luis Soho's 19 retired.
It's not going to happen. Although that'd be funny. That'd be pretty funny.
It would be great. What were we talking about before that? Before we got off into this thing?
Oh, we were talking about Pettit and the Yankees.
Pettit. Yeah, Pettit's been unbelievable. Nova with a great start last night. I think the lineup has started to wake up. You're seeing Teixeira kind of come around. I think Cano's starting to come around a little bit. Just like I've said all along, all season, just relax, Yankee fans. We're gonna be fine. And we're getting there. We're a half game out behind the Orioles, who I still don't believe. Same thing I said last week. Show me your good.
Although I gotta say, they were able to withstand a 3-10 stretch recently. They're still in first place, and they just took
this...
two in a row from a Red Sox team that's supposed to be on the way up.
Nah.
So,
didn't we see the same thing with the Blue Jays a couple years ago? They were at this great start. Everyone was like, "Oh wow, this team could actually." And then,
yeah, but I mean. Cito Gaston, I mean, yeah, 1993 call, they want their manager back. I mean, that's a squad that's not built long-term. Now, I'm not saying the Orioles are built long-term either, but there's a better core on that Oriole team than there was with that Blue Jay team a few years ago.
Whatever.
I mean, you have Adam Jones, Matt Wieters, Nick Markakis, although Markakis is injured right now. There's a much better core to that team, especially youth-wise. And Dino is a pretty decent guy. Chris Davis seems to be coming to his own. Mark Reynolds seems to be coming to his own.
I guess
there's a better core in that Baltimore team than there was in that Toronto team.
Call it reckless arrogance, and you can be perfectly right to call it that. But I'm not scared of the Orioles. Show me. You can call me at the All-Star break if you're still around.
Overall, I'm not scared as far as the division title is concerned. Potential wild card if they hang around long enough through the dog days of summer. I could see it. I really could see it.
I don't care. We talked about the Mets. They lost last night.
Did they lose again?
They lost.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
To the Nationals.
So what? They could potentially get swept today? This afternoon? Wow.
And the Nationals are good, though. The Nationals are very good.
Although, in the defense of the Mets, they've been throwing out a couple of schmucks in this series so Johan could get some extra rest.
Yeah.
So
Johan Santana coming to a Mets Hall of Fame near you.
This is the Mets way of saying, you know what? You Nationals, you're not good enough for us. We're looking at the Yankees series this weekend.
Subway series is this weekend.
See, look at you. I'm just helping you out all kinds of stuff here.
I had that written down. This was just a lovely little transition you provided me.
Yeah.
All right. No, don't be acting like I don't know.
Sorry.
I was just using it to act like this wasn't planned. But hey, Subway series time. Your thoughts. Let me ask you this question. Do you really care about the Subway Series? Like, I don't.
I do.
See, I don't care.
See, to
I
me,
don't care. It's the Mets. Like, now, I look at this. This is the same as like a Royals series to me. Just go out and win. I don't care.
Here's the thing for me. Number one, my dad's a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Number two, a few of my very close friends are diehard Mets fans, mm-hmm. and they have been. To me personally, very loud and rambunctious. Not necessarily obnoxious, but
what
very loud.
Just this year about or how years they, going back?
General. Like in general. They're very loud Mets fans.
This goes back to what do the Mets have to be rambunctious about?
It's been a few couple years. But for me personally, I carry a lot of weight in this series. Because for me, here's the way I have it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as level of importance is concerned, Red Sox, obviously, number one.
Yeah.
The Rays are number two just because of how good they've become in the last 5 years.
That's right. There's a rivalry there because they're good.
But for me, Mets are number three because you know what I want?
Yeah, I don't care.
I, as the big brother, want to remind the Mets 6 games out of every season that we are the big brother, and I don't want to just beat them. I want to beat the crap out of them within an inch of their lives. I want to leave with a bloody nose and black eyes.
See, I don't feel that because I don't have Met fan friends who try and get chesty with me. So as a Giant fan, I hate the Cowboys because they're good. I hate the Eagles because they're good, and the Redskins who have been terrible for 15 years. I just look at it and go, I don't. But you bleh.
Look,
go away, please.
The only NFL team I have hated my entire life is the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's backstories that I don't really
know. But because they're good. Rivalries are born out of struggle.
However,
this is a geographic rivalry, and that's it. Because the Mets suck.
There is another average team.
Not so much this year.
There is an average team in the NFL that I hate. The New York Jets.
Oh, I hate the Jets. But their coach is asking for it.
But
dude.
It's not even that. Because I know a couple of Jet fans as well. And even, this is going
oh,
back
they're
to
so
Chad
jesting.
Pennington. It's the greatest
they're
thing.
So
oh,
uppity.
Give me a break. Go get a real head. You haven't had a real head coach since Bill Parcells, okay? You haven't had a real coach in over a decade. Herm Edwards was okay. But other than that, you brought in trash.
I never had a problem with the Jets until Rex Ryan came. And that's so like, but the Mets don't have, they don't have a personality that I hate. And they don't. They're not a challenger, so it doesn't bother. Like, yeah, they could beat the Yankees, but it's like,
I want to see a steel cage match at Yankee Stadium this weekend. I want to see Rafael Soriano against Frank Francisco. We'll put a bunch of chairs in the middle of the field. Go at it. Have fun. That's what I want to see, because Rafael Soriano is a mental head case. I can't stand on my team, and Frankie Francisco is, well,
Rafael Soriano's like, what is he, though? He's 8-for-8 in save situations?
Hey. He has nobody to challenge him.
I know, but he's in his rightful place now as a closer.
He has nobody to challenge him.
I know.
If he had somebody to challenge him, he'd probably be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job if I mess up. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
But he's still 8-for-8, so you got to. All right, either way. So the Subway Series is this weekend. We'll see. I mean, the Mets have been. I think this is a big test for the Mets. They're playing the Yankees now. They're not playing, you know, they're not playing NL ball. They're playing the Yankees. It's time to step up. This is where they need to show it. So we'll see if they do. But to me, I'll be interested because the Yankees are playing, but I'm way more interested in, like, the Belmont. The Belmont is it for me this weekend.
I know we're short on the clock, and we'll talk Belmont in the next segment,
absolutely.
But I do have to ask this.
Yeah.
With all the injuries, who the hell are the Mets going to have as the designated hitter? I mean, think about all the injuries they have right now.
Hmm.
I mean, they've had their shortstop went down, their second baseman went down. They have one or two outfielders out right now. Who the hell is going to DH them?
This is when we need Pierce Bricks and his encyclopedic Met knowledge.
Use Valdez spin, and then he can go on the field and make two errors.
All right.
Too soon?
Probably, yeah.
No, not at all. For him, at least.
All right, so I alluded to it. For me, this weekend, the marquee event is the Belmont. I'm a horse racing guy. History on the line. We'll come back. We'll talk some Belmont. We'll preview. All right, it's Two Guys, One Mic. We'll be right back.